Hey folks, it's Marvin Cash, the host of the Articulate Fly. On this episode, I'm joined by Scott Wilday of Lidrig. Scott shares his Lidrig story, a deep affinity for Coors Light, and some cool new products. I think you're really going to enjoy this one. But before we get to the interview, just a couple of housekeeping items. If you like the podcast, please tell a friend, and please subscribe and leave us a rating or review in the podcatcher of your choice. It really helps us out. And don't forget to check out our Patreon community. It's a great way to support the show and our partners. We have everything from discounts on tying materials and guide trips to small group classes. And a quick public service announcement. If you'll be in East Tennessee this weekend on March 9th, I want to give you a heads up about the Tailwater Roundup. It's a cleanup event on the South Holston and the Watauga from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you want to help on the South Holston, meet at the Bluff City Boat Ramp. And if you want to help on the Watauga, meet at the Ingalls in Elizabethton. There will be an after cleanup celebration at the Watauga River Lodge. If you have any questions, reach out to @FlyingSoho on Instagram. And now, a shout out to this episode's sponsor. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Artisan Angler. If you're looking for a better way to organize your flies, tippet, and tools, you should check out the fly trap at artisanangler.com. I've dropped a link in the show notes. They sell direct through Amazon, so you get prime shipping and free returns. It doesn't get any easier than that. Make your time on the water more productive and check out the fly trap today. Now, on to our interview. Well, Scott, welcome to the Articulate Fly.
Hey, thanks for having me, Marvin.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to it, and I appreciate your flexibility on the reschedule. I think you understand sometimes they're just kid logistic issues you have to deal with.
Hey, anything for you, Marvin, you know?
I appreciate that. So we have a tradition on the Articulate Fly. We like to ask all of our guests to share their earliest fishing memory.
Earliest fishing memory. Well, I grew up on a lake out here. I live in Denver, Littleton, but so I grew up fishing for bass, pike, catfish, that kind of thing. And I'm the oldest. I've got two brothers. So we were out there just about every day in the summer. And there was this bass. We called him, called it the one-eyed bass. And I'm pretty sure we've caught this thing at least 100 times every summer. And it just lived under this bridge. And it just had the one eye, and that's just how we spent our summers. So, and you know, that was coming from an early age, and didn't really get into fly fishing until later in life. I've probably been heavy into it probably 6 or 7 years now. So, I'll do it all. I'm an equal opportunity angler. So been fishing is okay in my book.
Yeah, well, there you go. So what was the impetus for you to come to the dark side of fly fishing?
Where to start? You know, my background, I guess, is, sales, and I started a healthcare tech company, and, you know, it's just a grind, and healthcare tech is not very fun, I'll put it that way, and it's software, so it's not a tangible physical product, but learned a lot after selling that. It was just thinking, what do I want to do next? What can I be passionate about? And that was about the time my brother had been just dragging me along fly fishing. I actually hated fly fishing starting out, and I just didn't get it, mainly because I stunk at it. So, getting stuck and tangled, and it just, it didn't resonate with me, but I equate it to golf, right? It just takes one good fish, one good golf shot, then you're a golfer for life, right? So it was the same for me, one big brown trout, and the rest is history.
Yeah, well, I would say I never had the golf shot, so I never got like.
Don't save yourself. Save some money.
Yeah. So my junior clubs are in the garage, and I probably haven't touched a golf club in 35 years. So,
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah. So you got serious about fly fishing 6 or so years ago. Are there some kind of fly fishing mentors that kind of stick out in your mind? And, you know, if so, what did they teach you?
Yeah, so mainly my brother, he's the true angler in the family, I would say. He was had the most passion for it, and he just kind of got one of those contagious personalities and rubbed off on me. But, you know, through him, I learned pretty much everything I needed to know, and the basics, you know, as far as knots and depths and that kind of thing. And then, littering, it's been a whirlwind, but fun. But I've been traveling all over the place, fishing, you know, down in Belize and Mexico, Louisiana, up north. So a little bit of everything. And so it's an interesting question. But everywhere fish is different. Everybody fish is different. And I think that's kind of reflected in what I'm trying to do with Lidrig and the products. So it's a long answer. Or a simple question. I apologize.
No, it's all good. And I mean, talking about Lidrig, I mean, tell us a little bit about, the story behind kind of the genesis of the company.
You want the real one or?
Yeah, I'll take the real one and the fake one. No, we can do it all.
Speaking of golf, so we were at my youngest brother's bachelor party. We did it up in the mountains. It was like a weekend deal. And as a little gift, he got us golf ball markers. So it's a magnetic clip so you wear on your hat. And it was customized and all that. Next day, we went fishing. And as I mentioned, I'm horrible at fishing. So I was stuck in a tree, couldn't reach my brand new expensive nippers. As I'm dangling out of the tree. So I ended up using my golf ball marker to get my fly back. So and then you throw 6 Coors Lights in there and now I've got a company with multiple products. So
so it was a drunk fishing climbing experience, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. I owe a lot to Coors Light, I think.
Oh, well, yeah, that I was going to say you owe a lot to some IPA, but we'll just stick with the Coors Light.
Yeah, I'm not a big IPA guy. Don't judge me, but if I'm being honest, I'm more of a Scotch guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, my recollection was you were drinking bourbon in Edison.
It was a good memory.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I was totally coherent, right?
100%. And so, so you've got kind of the bachelor party genesis, but you know, how much did your kind of prior professional non-fishing life kind of feed into the Lidrig idea?
Oh man. So yeah, I've always kind of had the inventor's bug, I guess you could say. So I remember back to like third grade invention convention, creating these things, swarts, I called them. It's like sweats that turn into shorts. I made these gloves for surfers. Being in Colorado makes sense, right? But it was like webbing in between your fingers as a glove so you could paddle better. And, you know, later on in life, just kind of carried on to the healthcare tech side. I've been involved with startup companies and then broke off, did my own, and just kind of making the process better between and the communication better between physicians and patients. So it's kind of 3D body parts that docs could interact with and explain what the heck's going on. And I just, it's in my blood, I guess, to kind of see a problem and try to come up with a solution. But one thing to have an idea, a whole nother beast to make it a reality and bring it to market. So,
yeah, 100%. And so, but you know, why did you not just go start another tech company after you sold the last one?
Yeah, so tech is, I think I wanted to take a stab at something tangible, like a physical product. So in the tech game, yeah, that gets lost, right? So you're selling in the healthcare tech situation, I was selling to hospital systems, and you know, it's a long sales cycle. Once you sell it, you got to come in and implement it. You know, there's just a lot more to it. And I don't know. I think just on a personal level, it was, you know, what can I, and at the time I was going through some pretty heavy stuff on a personal level as well. So, you know, I think I wanted the sale grind itself. I was kind of over that, and I was just looking for something I could really enjoy doing and be passionate about. So, yeah, fly fishing fit the bill.
Yeah, there you go. And so, you know, your magnetic nippers are your flagship product. You know, what opportunity did you see kind of in nippers, and kind of what was the problem that kind of your entrepreneur inventor eye saw that needed to be solved?
Yeah, so I probably have a unique take on fly fishing, just being newer to the sport, if you want to call it a sport. But, you know, I just didn't understand why guys were carrying so much gear. And that really stuck out to me. And then, you know, as I progressed and nippers kind of grow with your fishing game, it seems like, right? You start out with the fingernail clippers and, you know, shoot, I've seen some lid rig knockoffs being sold for like $200 to $400. So, that was jaw dropping to me, that people would spend that amount of money on such a small, simple tool. So when I kind of dug in on it from a business perspective, you know, there was only a handful of players, and yeah, I just felt like I could make a play, and went out and made some prototypes to experiment with. So, and I think I had, what was it, 50 prototypes made, and the first two shops I walked into bought them all. So at that point, I kind of figured I might be onto something here. And those were horrible. I mean, they had springs and ball bearings, and I mean, they were ugly. And I mean, it was pretty rough. But the fact that I could sell my prototypes told me what I needed to know. And, you know, from that version to what it is today is basically a whole new product, and in a good way.
Yeah, and I guess you got a little bit of a design refresh relatively recently, right?
Yeah. So lid rigs, probably 3 years, maybe 3.5 years now. I've been at it. So it's grown relatively quickly. And that's just how I tend to work, is quick, but with intention. So the lid rig itself, you know, out now is version 2.0. In reality, it's probably like version 27, you know, with all the modifications that I made. And I'm pretty pumped. I just signed off on the lid rig 3.0 design, which I think is going to be the end all be all as far as nippers go. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, the one ring to rule them all.
Yeah, hopefully. That's the idea.
Yeah, so you know, for folks that haven't had a chance to kind of put their hands on a set, or to see you at a show, or see them in a shop, you know, let folks know kind of what makes your nipper design unique.
Sure. So the most prominent feature is the fact that it's got opposing magnets on either side of the nipper. So there's no springs in the middle. So it's the magnets, the reverse polarity that keeps them open and provides that spring action. And took that and just kind of built on it, created it. So starting out, my initial thought was just to have the nippers on the hat. So created a clip that goes on the brim or bill of your hat, or lid, I should say. And it's kind of the golf ball marker version for fly fishing. So easy access. But now we've added in like a bottle opener, a hook sharpener, eyelet poker. You can't actually wear the lanyard or wear the nippers on a lanyard if you want. So it's just kind of a good all access tool. So depending on how you fish and where you are, it'll get the job done for you.
Yeah, it's neat. I mean, I like the sharpener, and everybody needs a bottle opener, right?
That's what I'm saying.
although my recollection is Coors Light bottles are twist tops, so you wouldn't need the bottle opener. But I know for the IPAs you would.
No glass on the rivers, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you know, you were talking about kind of a little bit earlier about kind of the challenges of the startup. You know, what were some of the biggest challenges and surprises as you were working to bring the nippers to market?
Yeah, the biggest surprise was the fact that people liked the idea. And everybody's got an opinion. So, you know, there's a few people that said, this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard. No fly fisherman's going to buy this. And to me, I'm the wrong guy to say that to. So challenge accepted. But challenges, now that it's more established. So I guess out of the gate, I was thinking I could license the product, which I've done. And the companies I worked with, they started getting emails from folks saying, hey, screw you guys, you're stealing Lidrig's idea. And it's like, no, we're all on the same team here. But to me, that indicated that I might have a brand that I can build on, with obviously people loyal enough to go out of their way and send emails like that. So, then I met with another large company, and because I was just one product, we couldn't really do much. So, coming out with product number two was kind of a flyer, to be honest. And to date, it's one of the most successful products that I've launched. And it's simple but effective, and but getting out into the market, I'm pretty heavy on the social media space, but getting into shops and whatnot is harder than you would think. So, and a lot of that's because guys are out fishing and guiding, and you gotta. And I was new to the retail game, so figuring out, sales cycles and all that. So, but now I've got, probably 20 or so different products, all with a magnetic vein. And that's a hurdle in itself, because, anything coming in revenue-wise is going to new products, new innovations, and so it's just it's a delicate balancing act, as far as scaling, bringing new stuff out and trying to grow. So,
yeah. Interesting. And does anything kind of stand out in your mind in terms of like the differences with Lidrig and like your healthcare tech startup?
Yeah. Well, actually what stood out to me, I was listening to some of your last podcast with the waiter guys. I don't know if we should drop names or not, but
yeah, the Grundman's guys.
There you go. And I thought that was pretty interesting. Their approach to getting into shops and whatnot. I mean, there's direct competition, right? Where there's what, two other main players, so that a fly shop could sell. So yeah, they're directly competing. So from a literate standpoint, I just do it a little different, I guess, right? Like I can walk in and they can sell my products pretty much without any issues, right? And even if they do sell some other companies or similar products, side by side, they'll end up going with Lidrig. So I just thought that was pretty interesting. Their approach is kind of slow rolling to get into shops, where I'm more of a shotgun approach, I guess. And, I can walk in and walk out with a check to a fly shop. So, and a lot of it I'm learning as I go too. So, and shoot, now I've got distributors overseas and around my Japan, Canada, Europe, just signed South Africa. So, just trying to keep up at this point.
Yeah. It's interesting though. I mean, it's been a while since I've like really kind of drilled into kind of the nipper space, but I would think you kind of sit at a really nice kind of price point and feature benefit point to kind of the spectrum of nippers that are in the market, right?
Yeah, on purpose too, because that's another big hurdle I've come up against. By and large, the space is friendly and everybody gets along and seems trustworthy. But, I've had some larger companies come in and knock off some stuff. And I've only been at it, 3.5 years. So people are watching what I'm doing, which I guess is a good thing. But it's something you gotta be cognizant of, and you can spend a bunch of money on a patent and all this, and I've had interesting legal conversations, I'll put it that way. But I digress. I got sidetracked. What was the question?
Really, the price points. I mean, and I think the patent thing is an interesting thing too. I mean, because it's like, it's a patent plus the money to go sue somebody. So it's kind of a different game. But, my recollection is, I would say, let's just say the air quote high end of the nipper market is like 200 plus, right? And then I don't really think of, you're at 75, and then, everything else to me is, and I'm not trying to offend anybody who's got some stellar nipper that I haven't seen, because I don't purport to see them all. But, the rest of it's sort of that kind of utilitarian stuff that's, with zingers, right? And at a different price point. So, it's an interesting thing about being kind of copied. Like, I mean, back to kind of talking about the Grundens guys, like, you notice how this year now everybody's got to like tweak their suspension system on their waders?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
It's the exact same thing. Yep. And, this, right, from being in the tech company background and making stuff, not everything is patentable. So that's an interesting thing too. And, the only way you win is you got to outrun people and also be nicer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or you can try and outpay them, but, as a startup, that's hard to do if you're going up against the big guys. So,
yeah.
But that's, to me, and part of where the idea came from, I guess, is, I watched a guy in a river with expensive nippers that doled out on him, right? So they were pretty much useless as he's standing in the middle of the river. And they, air quotes, have replacement blades, but they're going to charge you for them. So that didn't make sense to me. At all. So, and so they get you twice, and, it just wasn't doing the job. So, $75, I get is it's not the cheapest, but, the Lidrig is a multi-tool and it does a lot. So, you know, that helps. And it does not have replacement blades, so you can just sharpen them. And kind of like a knife, right? With the clip itself. So, you know, long lasting. It's not the prettiest, but it's a tool. It's made to be used. It doesn't have the pretty trout patterns on it or anything like that. But and I think that resonates with people. So, and I don't know, from an outsider's perspective, I still consider myself kind of an outsider, but you know, it seems like the industry is changing a little bit too. You know, it's getting younger, right? And more accessible. So, people have different tastes, different needs. And like I said earlier, everybody fishes different. So I want to make tools that, work for how you fish. And that's the fun part for me. I just make stuff and guys like you tell me how they use it. So, and usually post about it on Instagram, which is fun.
Yeah. And my use case is, you know, unless you lose your hat, you're not going to lose your nippers. Cause I mean, I would be seriously crying if I had lost a pair of $200 nippers in the river.
Yeah. Well, and actually there's so I was down in, fishing at the X Flats, and there's a doctor down there fishing as well. So, you know, gave him the lid rig to use, and that was his, he was just kind of a negative Nancy, maybe. And he's like, well, you know, what if I lose my hat? And I'm like, well, that'd be impressive. Of course, he ends up losing his hat, sinks to the bottom, but they were able to get his hat back. So they stuck the metal rod down to get his hat back via the lid rig and magnetic connection. So, you know, there's two ways to look at it, I guess.
Yeah, well, it's also easier to find your hat on the bottom of a river than it is to find a pair of nippers.
Yeah. That's true.
So, you know, do you, you know, at this point, Scott, have you kind of, you know, you've got multiple products, and we'll talk about the rest of them in a minute, but do you kind of have an overarching design philosophy at Lid Rig?
Yes. Well, so I guess I like magnets, and that's kind of been my MO, so to speak, with any new product that I'm coming out with, but more so use cases. So, you know, I've built a pretty substantial, I'd say over 100 professional anglers that I'm in contact with, anglers and tires that I'm in contact with almost daily. And, you know, I'm good at knowing what I don't know and listening to what people need and want. And if I can solve that problem with magnets, I'll do it. And so, like, I live on a lake down here in Denver. So, you know, I've got all my bass stuff that I'm fishing with. I just got back from the X Flats fishing down there with the salt flies. And then I'll be up in the mountains, you know, fishing for trout. So to me, it's just, I can have 20 different fly boxes, or I can have one that's interchangeable magnetically. And so, you know, less is more, I guess, in a nutshell. And I accomplish that with magnets.
Yeah, which is, as we've joked, is awesome if you don't have a pacemaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you want to kind of walk our listeners through, you know, some of the other products that are in the Lid Rig universe?
Sure. I think the most interesting one, or funny, I'll say, but you remember the Slat bracelet? I think I showed it to you at the show, yeah. But the toy. So picture that. But it's like a magnetic watch. So I made it originally to slap around a boat frame. But now I've seen guys using it. They'll stick it to the side of their car. It'll hold your rides up for you. I saw a guy, he lost a streamer tied on the the mag band, threw it out, got a streamer back. So, you know, it's just a lot of different cool creative ways that's used. And you know, a lot of the tires seem to like it. They'll wrap it around their, basically their vice. And then, shoot, what else? Just came out with the stash tray. So, which is a magnetic plate hat clip. It'll also have a lanyard attachment. Just launched those a couple weeks ago. Seem to be pretty popular. Another one's called the flywheel. It's just a heavy duty magnet, 56 pound pull force. Literally, it'll hold a shotgun if you need it to. But you can put that on your waders, your straps. It'll hold forceps, flies. It actually works with some of our other products as well. So, but yeah, everything kind of works together. So, in the Wittering universe. So, I won't make something if it can't be used with something else, if that makes sense.
Yeah, got it. And so how big is the stash box? I assume it fits on the brim of your hat, right?
Yeah, it's pretty small. So think of it as it's similar in size to the existing clip, a little bit bigger, and with the magnets inside of it. So the magnets on the existing Lidrig are super strong, but with this mag tray, you could take a branch to the face and that Lidrig's not going anywhere. So, and if you're not using it to hold your Lidrig, I typically use it to hold real small flies if I'm trout fishing. So it'll hold, 10, 15, probably even 20, smaller flies.
Yeah, all kinds of good stuff for like Cheeseman and 11 Mile, right? All midges, yep, and stuff like
there
that.
There you go. Yeah. Look at you. Oh, yeah. Yep.
So I also saw, I think it was on Instagram, that I guess you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I guess the modular fly box is a relatively new release for you too, because I saw the video on your Instagram page.
Yeah. So I'm super pumped on them. And it's just a new concept. So, how do I describe it? So instead of a typical foam insert, I have these magnetic rubber pads, stronger than anything else on the market. That's a guarantee. And then, so you can actually just throw your flies right in there and they'll stick, which is what I'll do. Or we also have these, foam insert with a metal bottom that stick to it. So you can just swap them in and out of boxes. So, and then we also have what's called a mag pad. So it's just that same magnetic rubber material, but you can stick that, to the side of your boat. If you're tying flies, base of your vise, wherever you need it, dashboard. And, so you can just pull that set out, put it right next to you where you actually need it. So you're not digging through 20 different boxes trying to find the next fly. So just a little more efficient. And like I said, everything works together. So you can also wear those inserts, on the flywheel or the mag band if you need to. So it's cool. I'm excited for it. And a lot of the shops have been picking them up. So I'm thinking you'll start to see them in the market a little bit more here.
Yeah. And is the box, I know the one on the Instagram feed was relatively large. Does the box come in multiple sizes?
Yeah. So we have a small, medium, and large type box. So like the streamer size box down to, a smaller day box. So we have not quite the streamer size box, but it's a little bit thinner. We call it the mag book. And I freaking love these things. They're waterproof, indestructible, super versatile. And that's been my go-to is the MagBook. So it's got the see-through top, thick plastic, and the magnetic concept as well.
Got it. Yeah. So it's kind of like a magnetic Umpqua box, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's super cool. And so, you know, as you kind of look in your perpetual motion entrepreneur startup eye, you know, what's your vision for LidRig in the next 5 years?
So, you know, who knows? At this rate, I'm going day by day. But, you know, I think I've got the product suite kind of where it needs to be. So now it's more expansion mode. So getting into more shop, different parts of the world, and kind of stabilizing on the business side and kind of take it from there. You know, I've been approached by a few people about acquisition and stuff like that. So, you know, who knows, but it's cool to see the started as one product and I feel like now it's a company, you know, a brand. So it's just cool to see that grow. And so I think I can make it larger and who knows? 5 years is a long time for a startup. So
yeah, I could scale it back to 3 if that helps.
There you go. I mean, I'll talk to anybody, I'll put it that way, but right now I'm having fun growing.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because you can clearly see the community because, you know, if you go to your website and to your store, I mean, you can tell there's a lot of community because you have an unusually large number of kind of apparel type things, right? Hats, shirts, and that doesn't happen. You know, there are two choices, and I know you wouldn't make one of them, which is to make a lot of shit and not sell it. Or, you know, you have an active community that wants to, you know, wear your hats and hoodies and stuff and let people kind of, you know, spread the word for you.
Yeah, that's what littering is. And I think that's what I'm most proud of actually is the community surrounding it. So kind of by the people for the people. And like I said, I'm not joking when I say I'm not an ex-guide and I'm horrible at fishing. So, I learn from people, right? I don't tie flies, but I appreciate the heck out of it. So, but the community is just phenomenal. So, you know, and going to these like fly fishing shows, it's amazing. Guys will come up and, you know, professional tires, they'll just post up, start tying flies. And, you know, I've got people coming into the booth just to hang out, and they'll people will walk up wearing a lid rig and they'll sell to people standing there. And I just kind of sit back and, you know, drink a beer. So it's, and luckily it's got one of those products where, once you use it or touch it and feel it, it kind of sells itself. So, and you can tell by my rambling, that's exactly what I need. So,
yeah, but I mean, it's cool, right? I mean, particularly like you're lucky because I think that, you know, where you are in the Denver area is probably like the highest concentration of fishiness in the country, right? For trout, you know, in terms of shops and, you know, resource and guides and people, but, you know, to be able to, for example, like, I mean, you were mobbed in Edison. I walked past your table a bunch, right? That's gotta be super cool, right?
Yeah, it's humbling for sure. You know, and you're right. I mean, Denver or Colorado is kind of Mecca, I guess you could say. But again, it's me being green to the industry and, you know, shoot, I've walked into, some pretty big shops, just like Fly Fish Food is a good example. I walked in there with an earlier version of the lid rig, you know, not knowing who Cheat was and all that and how big they were and influential, but you know, they brought in lid rig, right? And they're willing to help and kind of provide feedback and help me grow. And so it's just, yeah, it's humbling, man. And I've made some tremendous friends through this process. And now it's cool to see other people connect. Like, I wasn't down in the Texas show, but there was a bunch of, you know, people wearing the lid rig and pictures and shirts and whatnot. And, you know, I'm sitting at home with my 6-year-old thinking to myself, like, dang, that's pretty cool. I wish I was there, but, yeah, just getting it out there, you know, making stuff people like, and hopefully I can keep the train rolling here.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, we have a very, very special community in fly fishing in terms of, you know, openness and generosity. And, you know, I always, you know, say that I think, you know, fly anglers are some of the most generous people you'll ever meet.
I would very much agree with that. Yeah. Until from a company perspective, I'm much more cautious now versus, you know, when I was getting up and off the ground. But you know, I know people are paying attention now, just by products that they'll come out with, and but you know, that's life. It's competition. It's a capitalist country, so competition is good. And you know, in very few communities outside of fly fishing could a single dad with an idea, you know, get lead rig to where it is today. And if the only reason it is where it is based on that community and people helping out. So it's, I'm very thankful for the whole experience. So.
Yeah, it's very, very neat. Before I let you go this evening, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, just keep an eye out for 3.0. Pretty pumped on it, probably in the next couple months here. So, and you know, speaking of community, give us a follow on Instagram. It's just me. I just repost everybody else's cool fishing trips and whatnot. So, but it's a fun follow, and you'll learn how to pick up a couple new tricks on how to use lid rig gear.
Yeah, there you go. And so, you know, if you want to let folks know, like, the best place, obviously you're on Instagram, that's your social media flavor of ice cream, but you want to let folks know website, Instagram handle and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, just lidrig.com. Pretty simple.
That is pretty simple. Well, listen, Scott, I appreciate you spending some time with me this evening.
Yeah, thank you, Marvin. We'll have to get out and fish, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be in your neck of the woods this summer for sure.
All right. Bring that lid rig.
I'll do it. Take care.
Cheers.
Well, folks, I hope you enjoyed that as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. Again, if you like the podcast, please tell a friend and please subscribe and leave us a rating and review in the podcatcher of your choice. And don't forget to check out the fly trap from our friends at Artisan Angler. Tight lines, everybody.